Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pelletier. Day of records for the Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ. Stocks rebounded from the first retreat of the year. S&P up 19, now at 2767, up by 0.7%. The Dow up 205, up 0.8%, to a record 25,574. NASDAQ up 58, up 0.8%. 10-year up 6/32, the yield 2.53%. Gold up 0.4%, to $13.22 the ounce. West Texas Intermediate crude down about 0.1%, $63.54 on WTI. Brent touched 70 before retreating, now at $69.12 a barrel. I'm Charlie Pallett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. Buying a home is more affordable than renting in 54% of the United States, but most people are experiencing the reverse.
The majority, 64% of the population, are in counties that are more affordable to rent than to buy.
Darren Bloomquist, Vice President at Adam Data Solutions.
It's not necessarily because rents are affordable, but it's because home prices are just going up so quickly, even faster than rents in many of these areas, that renting it becomes the lesser of two affordability evils.
Renting is more affordable than buying in New York, the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Boston, Chicago, Miami, Houston, Seattle, Phoenix, and San Diego. And renting is most affordable compared to wages in cities including Huntsville, Alabama, Peoria, Illinois, and Dayton and Cleveland, Ohio, but least affordable in Marin County, Sonoma County, the D.C. Metro, Honolulu, and parts of Manhattan. And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
You're listening to Bloomberg Markets with Carol Messer and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, everybody, you are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Messer along with Corey Johnson. Goldman Sachs doubling down on this claim that he runs a tech. I can't even read my notes. Anyway, doubling down on a technology company. This is when I told you it's been a crazy week. Anyway, they've committed $250 million in money collected from private wealth clients to this next company. It's called Cadre, and it's all about commercial real estate investments. Ryan Williams is chief executive officer at Cadre, and he joins us at our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Tell us, first of all, what you do.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have
I started
you.
Cadre about 3 years ago. We are a digital investment platform focused on commercial real estate opportunities. So basically what we do is we take quality commercial real estate opportunities, office buildings, hotels, retail centers. We close, acquire, underwrite them, and then we offer them up in almost a syndication model.
Any size deal?
Generally $70 million up to a couple hundred million of total value. So larger transactions, and what we're doing is we're reducing all the fees that people normally pay for trying to access these type of properties through funds. And the Goldman partnership really is a testament to the quality of our team, of our offerings, and the fact, as Goldman also oftentimes says, you know, technology is transforming and changing any offline industry like real estate that historically has been relationship driven. Their clients have basically subscribed to a fund with which they're able to invest in deals on our platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a testament again to the value proposition we've been able to create in a relatively short time frame.
Investors who've wanted access into commercial real estate, individual investors of certain wealth, have tended to look towards REITs.
Yes.
Why this instead of a REIT?
Sure. So there's really three ways to invest, right? You can go direct. Depends on who you know. You can go through a fund. Tons of fees. Opaque. I actually was previously at a fund at Blackstone. Model's broken. Or you can go through REITs. REITs are great, except REITs are cool.
You didn't break it.
No.
You break it, you own it. You know, that's those rules.
Exactly.
That's not in your case.
No.
Okay.
No, REITs are a great way to get access to real estate. The challenge with REITs, though, is they're correlated to the equity markets. The benefits of investing in alternatives is that you get diversification, right, relative to, you know, the equity markets. And what we've been able to do is...
So in other words, market tanks, your REIT doesn't tank with it.
Today it does.
Right.
Right, because it's...
Or your real estate investment doesn't invest with
it. Our platform...
A REIT would, yours wouldn't.
Exactly. And the other benefit is really... you know, tax, right? So in direct real estate, you get depreciation benefits from the losses that you can
sure.
roll forward. REITs, you don't have that same type of benefit given it's a corporation.
Well, you sort of do because it rolls in through the income statement of the REIT.
You do it not at the same level. There's more leakage with the
yeah.
REITs because it's effectively a corporation as well. And
right.
so our model, you own an interest in an underlying property itself. So it's literally almost like a digital stock market for commercial real estate buildings. I oftentimes use the analogy We're almost IPOing real estate buildings, and we're offering them up to investors on the platform.
How liquid is it?
So we're working on our secondary marketplace and scaling it. We've actually closed secondary transactions to date. But like I oftentimes say, like in the land of the blind men, the one-eyed man is king, there's really not a great direct real estate liquidity solution today. And so we're actually changing the paradigm because, again, in the fund world, you're prone to market swings. You can't get out of the latest Blackstone or Starwood fund. In our model, you actually can get some semblance of liquidity, and we'll have more to speak about that in the coming months, as it's really one of the most transformational parts of our business model.
But accredited stay tuned. Only? Okay. You're working on this.
Stay tuned. Yes, we are.
Accredited investors only?
Today, accredited investors. The Goldman clients are accredited investors. And, you know, I will tell you the partnership came together pretty quickly. We were really, really honored to have Goldman on board, but it's the first of its kind that we know
of. Yeah, they got a lot of dough.
They have a lot of dough, but, you know, they also have a great brand. I worked at Goldman. Our investment committee chairman, Mike Fascitelli, was the head of Goldman's real estate group for years. John Winkelried used to be one of our investment committee members from Goldman. So we had a lot of Goldman DNA in-house, and that was really one of the key reasons why we ultimately wanted to move
forward. So $250 million already in from Goldman.
It's already closed. More to come.
What else do you have on top of that?
We have additional clients that are committing as we speak, and we'll definitely make sure folks have a feel for what the final numbers are when we can announce.
So the structure is Goldman.
He's winking at me. You think I'm that easy. I'm assuming Goldman is a big chunk right now.
Goldman is. Yeah. Goldman. Yeah. So these are all Goldman clients coming in. And, you know, we had other banks approach us. And again, they are committed to technology. That's coming from the top, right? Lloyd Blank Fine said it multiple times. Because we have a technology team and a core to our business, that played a key role, that alignment on what we're both looking to build.
So the way it works is, I guess Goldman just took a big chunk down, and then they're going to go out and resell that to all the whatever investors want to come in at whatever size.
Yeah, it's very similar. Basically, it's, you know, it's a Goldman fund. Think of it that way, right? And the fund is comprised of a bunch of their clients.
So let me. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So this, I'm curious about both the size of the average investment.
Mm-hmm.
And this, that is the buildings that you buy,
sure,
or what commercial properties, whatever. And then the size of the average individual investment.
Yeah, great question. So, you know,
that's my job.
Look, it's they're not all great, though, trust me.
He says that all the time. I'm just telling you.
So, we generally target deals anywhere from $50 million of total enterprise value up to, you know, a few hundred million. The average investor is committing a few hundred thousand per transaction. And these are folks who otherwise.
Two or eight. 100,000.
A few hundred thousand. Okay. It's somewhere in between two and eight.
There's a lot of investors.
You know, there's more than 12 million accredited in the U.S., right? And that's a huge market, and most of them don't have efficient access to quality real estate.
How do you pick and choose?
So we first have accreditation standards today.
No. Yeah. How do you pick and choose the real estate that you're
in? Oh, our bar is incredible. I mean, we have an institutional investing real estate team in-house. You know, we have folks who are at Blackstone and Baupost and Goldman Sachs. So we have that kind of diligence and that experience in-house. We're reviewing deals that are brought to us. Just to give you a sense, last year we turned down 95% of the deals that we saw. So a really high bar. We closed.
That means you're going through a lot of deals.
A few hundred million. Yeah, we saw billions and billions of volume last year. And the ultimate bogey is about 10% net returns is kind of the minimum IRR.
That's what I was curious.
And we always do no development.
What's the high bar? Yeah.
Exactly. And we have a lot of cash flow from
no development, you said?
Not today. We haven't
so
done
existing stuff.
All existing office, multifamily, retail.
You worried?
Yeah.
Are you worried about a higher rate environment and how that might impact real estate?
So there will be a correction to the market. We do feel like rates at some point will rise right there at all-time lows. When that happens, though, we feel like, again, we'll be pretty uniquely equipped to find good opportunities for two reasons. One, we have a lower cost of capital. We're reducing a lot of the fees. That's business. Two, we are focused on providing the ability for liquidity to happen. You think about 08, 09, what happened when there was a correction? Everyone looked for liquidity, and there was none to be sort of found. So that's kind of why we're so excited about the resiliency, and I think it's a real reason as to why Goldman was so excited about the business, too.
It's sort of, you know, real estate's
cool stuff.
Fascinating. It's interesting. It's looking at a different model and taking out fees. I mean, that's the whole name of the game there, because God knows there's fees at everywhere you turn in the world of real estate.
Absolutely.
Ryan Williams, CEO of a company called Cadre. Cadre, you can see him on Twitter at Ryan, RyanAnaWMS.
Come back and talk to us.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Give us an update a little bit later on. All right, you are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Master, Corey Johnson, and this is Bloomberg Radio.